Welcome to Standard Chartered Money Insights, a podcast series by Standard Chartered Bank that brings you market views and insights on the go.
Hello, everyone. My name is Manpreet, and welcome to Through the Noise. Now, the past week that we've just been through was absolutely packed with major central bank decisions. Most investors were holding their breath ahead of the US Fed meeting, but we actually got some fairly significant decisions elsewhere. First from the Bank of Japan, which went a little against the grain to hike rates, and the Swiss National Bank, which became the first major central bank to actually cut rates in the cycle. So are these actions, particularly those from the Swiss National Bank, a sign of more to come? And is that actually good for financial markets? To discuss that and more, today I'm joined by Raymond Cheng, who's our Chief Investment Officer for North Asia. So welcome, Raymond. Thanks so much for joining us today. Let's start with the US Fed. In your view, you know, from the outcome of the meeting, what is your view on the impact on U.S. government bonds and indeed U.S. risky assets more broadly?
Thanks, Manpreet. The message from the Fed this week was decidedly dovish. The Fed delivered two key dovish signals in our view. First, the Fed saw a better economic backdrop, having revised up GDP growth and inflation expectations and lowered the unemployment rate estimate. But interestingly, the Fed kept rates unchanged and upheld the target of 3 rate cuts for this year. It was only for 2025 and 26 that the median expectation for rate cuts was reduced modestly by 25 bips each relative to prior projections. Now, clearly, the Fed wants to cut rates and is waiting for a few more inflation data points to validate the disinflationary trend. Now, the second dovish signal would be the discussion of a slower pace of quantitative tightening. Now, since this policy meeting, U.S. government bond yields have fallen and the curve has deepened. That is, short maturity yields down more than those on long maturity bonds. All in all, with both Fed inflation and rate cut expectations more aligned now with investor expectations, we believe U.S. government bond valuations look more balanced at current levels. Hence, in the near term, we expect 10-year yields to stay largely range-bound at 4% to 4.25%. Now, broadly, we got similar dovish tones, as you said, from other central banks, such as the Bank of England, as well as the Bank of Japan, that hiked rates for the first time in 17 years, but reiterated the accommodative tone by continuing to purchase government bonds. Now, in summary, the central bank decisions broadly suggested developed markets are more supportive of growth at this juncture, hence boding well for risk assets in the next 6 to 12 months. So we continue to average into US and Japan equities at these levels.
Okay, so maybe let's zoom in now a little bit on the Swiss National Bank's decision. I think that really came as potentially one of the biggest surprises this week as far as central bank decisions was concerned. In your view, how does the rate cut affect the outlook for the Swiss franc?
Sure. The Swiss National Bank did catch the market by surprise, cutting rates by 25 bips to 1.5%. As a result, the dollar against Swiss franc reached a four-month high. And this rate cut was the first reduction in 9 years. The SNB's belief is that the current Swiss inflation is within the range of price stability, and hence the forecast for CPI inflation to be no higher than 1.5% through year 2026. We believe the SNB decision is not the beginning of an aggressive easing cycle either, given rising rentals, wages, and the risk of imported inflation. Now, we believe this move reduces the likelihood of significant appreciation from here on, especially as it makes further intervention favoring a strong Swiss franc unlikely. Now, from a technical standpoint, the dollar against Swiss franc is overbought and could be poised for a near-term pullback. We see key support at around 0.86 and key resistance at 0.91 over a three-month horizon.
Okay, maybe staying in Europe for a moment, what about the equity market? I guess specifically your outlook for European equities relative to the US, which has been, you know, on a strong run so far.
Interestingly, some participants have been indicating that Europe equities have slightly outperformed the US over the last couple of weeks. And admittedly, the European economic data has seemed to show some improvement. If you look at the European manufacturing conditions, they appear to be improving, with leading indicators such as Centis and ZEW offering increasingly positive signals. The euro area economy is highly leveraged to the global industrial cycle and is likely to benefit from this trend. In the meantime, the US economic surprise indicator seems to have been stalling. However, compared with the US, Europe is not consuming as much. Excess savings has been made in the form of non-consumable deposits. Low confidence and high mortgages have been a drag on consumption in Europe. Also, service inflation has remained stubborn, and the ECB has been signaling a slow rate-cutting cycle as it awaits more proof of this inflation. Now, we have also observed recently a pickup in capital allocation towards European equities, and this has been the most over the last four-week period since June 2020. However, the Fed has signaled now that it continues to expect rate cuts this year, despite some sticky inflation risks. This lends a tailwind to growth stocks and the growth-heavy U.S. equity market. And so in comparison, we expect a further breakout in the NASDAQ 100 index versus Europe, which tend to be more value-heavy and therefore more likely to underperform should the interest rate environment continue to suggest a downtrend.
All right. And finally, maybe just on China. We've had a start to China's earnings season. So maybe just want to get your thoughts on how it's shaping up so far. And specifically, do you see any opportunities, whether broader or more tactical?
Sure. Based on Bloomberg estimates, roughly below 20% of companies within MSCI China have reported earnings for 2023 so far, delivering an average negative 2.7% earnings surprise. Consensus growth forecasts for 2024 earnings have been notched down from 15.9% at the beginning of this year to now just around 14.8%, partly because of more cautious outlook here. The consumer-facing sectors like consumer discretionary and communication services have delivered a bit more of a positive earnings surprise, which reinforces our preference in these sectors. And also, in general, we have been seeing a bit more of generous shareholder return policies being announced by corporates during this earnings season. Many of the Chinese corporates have taken the opportunity to boost dividend payout and or stock buyback. And we seem to view this strategy as sensible, mainly because a lot of these companies have continued to generate strong cash flows, and yet their shares have been facing a multi-year low, given price valuation environment we are seeing. The dividend yield for China equities, as we look at it now, has been trending up over the past 3 years. So this provides an attractive tailwind for China equities in our view. But broadly speaking, to sustain the rally of China equities, we will need more confidence in macro developments in China. This would include the avoidance of deflation. Despite that, we continue to see some tactical opportunities in China equities in sectors such as consumer discretionary, communication services, and tech sectors, apart from high dividend stock ideas. Specific to the consumer-facing industries, we think they will benefit from a pickup in consumption growth. And in terms of technology, we are going through the cycle where we would likely see a replacement of tech hardware, as well as upgrade into AI-enabled hardware and chips as well. So we continue to see pockets of opportunities in China equities, even though broadly we retain a neutral view on China equities.
All right. I think we'll bring the conversation to an end there as we're almost out of time. So thank you, Raymond, for taking time to join us today. As always, maybe I'll just sum up the key takeaways from our conversation today. The first one being that, of course, a lot of central bank decisions this week, but overall, we see them being largely a positive for equity markets, particularly more so in the US. Second, the surprise Swiss National Bank decision, we think limits the likelihood of further Swiss franc strength, but of course, focus on the 86 to 91 cent range from a shorter term perspective. And finally, of course, in Chinese equities, I mean, focusing on the earnings season, of course, but we really think the opportunity or the tactical opportunity sits in some of our sector calls. So thank you, Raymond, once again. And thank you, listeners, for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. We hope you enjoyed it, as always, and we look forward to speaking with you again next week.
Thank you for listening to Standard Chartered Money Insights, a podcast series by Standard Chartered Bank. For more details, visit Market Views on the go on our website or click the link in the description.